This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio here on NPR One.
Nashville, Tennessee is a prime American music pilgrimage destination. Top attractions include the Grand Ole Opry, the fabled Ryman Auditorium, and the Country Music Hall of Fame. Nashville's live music bar scene along the Honky Tonk Highway is a big draw, a prime reason the city has become America's premier locale for bachelorette parties. But beyond the glow of the limelight, there's an alternative, sometimes overlooked, Nashville experience. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for an exploration of things to see on the fringes of Nashville that rock, but at a more relaxed pace. East Nashville is just across the Cumberland River, 5 minutes from downtown. The thriving neighborhood touts family-owned businesses, including the Lipstick Lounge Karaoke Bar, a to-die-for bakery, a chocolate factory, and the home of the legendary annual Tomato Fest.
Yeah, so the Tomato Arts Fest happens every August. Huge parade at the beginning. It's funny, we laugh because it's just everybody in East Nashville.
Midtown is home to Vanderbilt University, with places to stay such as the Ertzen Hotel, where it's an easy walk to the heart of town.
Yeah, we're in Midtown Nashville. It's about a mile from the honky-tonks of Lower Broadway. Steps from Music Row, which is where all the music businesses, agencies are located within town, and then Vanderbilt University is just outside our front door.
Kayaking on the Cumberland River is a distinctive way to experience Nashville. You could almost reach out and touch the riverfront buildings from the water. What a wonderful day on the river.
We went from Shelby Park in East Nashville down into beautiful downtown Nashville, Tennessee.
Or ultimately, get lost on the river downstream in the countryside. The antebellum town of Franklin is just a half-hour drive from downtown Nashville. Franklin's historic downtown features more than 30 live music venues, an array of boutiques and antique shops, and cool eateries. Franklin's residents include a litany of music legends such as Justin Timberlake, Carrie Underwood, and Keith Urban.
There was a 5K down Main Street. You know, Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman are out there running just with the other folks. And if you saw someone with a camera running towards a celebrity, you're probably going to see three or four other locals chasing them down saying, that's not what we do here.
Rock Castle, built in 1783, is the oldest home in Middle Tennessee.
There were supposedly buffalo out here, and they had skirmishes with the Native Americans and other settlers that were all kind of vying for the same property, and yeah, it was definitely the Wild West.
A 30-minute drive from downtown Nashville, the historic plantation is preserved with period furnishings. Tennessee Department of Environmental Conservation offers home tours and annual festival events.
My name is Austin Bowman. I own Shelby Avenue Bicycle Company in East Nashville.
Talk to us about East Nashville, the other world, the under-the-radar world that many people that come to Nashville as a tourist or a visitor never see, never experience.
Nashville has lots of unique neighborhoods. I think one of the most unique is East Nashville. It's got a whole lot of art and music that come out of East Nashville that influence Nashville. And I think if you visit the city, you experience it in one way or another, and you might not even realize where it's coming from, but chances are pretty good that it came from East Nashville.
It's a very much a residential area. There's no big buildings or big urban core at all.
No, yeah, that's the great part about it. It's just a neighborhood, and it's a neighborhood where there's lots of different types of people, and each of those people has different things that they add to the community, and then I think that's what makes it great, and kind of that's what creates that energy that embodies everything that a lot of people get energy from.
And there really is a intrinsic community neighborhood pride.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody in East Nashville takes a huge amount of ownership over their neighborhood, over their neighbors. They're looking out for each other, and you're very invested here. And so I think that's something that's really special that people are always looking for.
Your annual festival or the fair you talked about, That seems a great metaphor for the community. Talk to us about how that works and how the, quote, parade works.
Yeah, so the Tomato Arts Fest happens every August. Our joke is that it always happens on the hottest day of the year. So that means you'll probably need an extra drink on that day, and there's always drinks to be had. So there's a huge parade at the beginning. We do a bicycle decorating. The parade is funny. We laugh because there aren't any spectators for the parade. It's literally everyone marches through the streets and then into the middle of East Nashville, and then the festival begins, and it's just a big celebration of community. And there's vendors from all over that come to East Nashville to show what they've made.
And they're dressed up as tomatoes.
Yeah, a lot of people are dressed as tomatoes. Everybody's wearing red, and the kids have dyed their hair green. And they take the big intersection in the middle of Five Points and put a big tomato on it. They do it right.
Talk to us about some of the neighborhood businesses, and we'll start with you and your business.
Yeah, so there's a lot of great businesses in East Nashville. They're all very family-oriented, and our business, we have a shop baby this year. I guess he's 15 months old now, and so we have a crib in our business at this point in our lives, and so that's exciting. What we do here is just, as a bike shop, try to get everybody biking and make it approachable to everyone, and I think a lot of other local businesses do that as well. There's a little chocolate store just around the corner. They do tours, and anybody can eat chocolate. So, I mean, everybody loves that. There's a coffee shop called The Post East just two blocks away, and so we're...
Back up to the chocolate, for example, because that's just not a typical chocolate store. They make chocolate starting with the raw cacao and grinding it and the whole process, which is fairly unusual American chocolatier.
It's true. Olive and Sinclair is a really special place, and it's right here in East Nashville, and they provide chocolate for a lot of the chefs in the city. And Nashville has an international dining scene, and it's because of little people like Olive and Sinclair that make that happen. And they're just over here in the neighborhood. A lot of people would drive by and not even notice, but they're over there every day, and people are eating their food every day, and they're, you know, always amazed when they find the place where it comes, and you meet the people that wake up early and go over there and grind the chocolate, and it smells great. I mean, the whole neighborhood smells like that when they're making the chocolate.
Okay, you have a little bakery that's very different.
Yeah, so Sweet 16 is really awesome. It's on 16th Avenue. The folks that own that are amazing, and they open up every morning at 7 a.m., and then they close when they sell out. They're packed every morning. And then they take 2 weeks off each year just to go take some time and relax for themselves, but people love them. Sweet 16th is another one of those things that the neighborhood wouldn't be the same without them.
And the other cool one, the lesbian karaoke bar. Tell us about that. That's a real prideful favorite in the neighborhood.
Yeah, so Lipstick Lounge has been in East Nashville for a long time, and that's a neighborhood favorite. They always have karaoke. I would say if you come to Nashville and you haven't been to a karaoke bar, you really missed it. And if you haven't been to Lipstick Lounge, then you really missed East Nashville. So that's a favorite spot to go grab a beer and try your hand at singing. You'll be shocked at the types of people that turn up and get on stage and the amount of talent that they have when they pick up the microphone.
Across the board, a little bit of everybody.
Yeah, totally. And everybody's welcome, you know, so that's part of it in East Nashville. This is a place for everybody, no matter who you are or what culture you come from. This is a place where you can be represented and you can have your own business and be successful.
Urban Cowboy.
Urban Cowboy, which is another good example of that. Urban Cowboy is a place with a really fancy cocktail bar, and then they have a little outdoor lounge, and it's just a combination of everything. It's like going in your favorite antique shop and being able to get a good cocktail.
And you can overnight there. It's a B&B, right?
Yeah, they have some rooms upstairs. I think you have to get a reservation for that, and I'm sure they go fast. So that's a popular destination, too.
A little more, a couple other places that some of your favorites.
Five Points Pizza is a favorite. That's in Five Points. As a business, they really did a lot for Five Points and have made that partially because they offer really good pizza until 3 a.m. So that's a good spot. Five Spot is another place that offers all kinds of dancing. And then the Basement East is another good music venue.
And these all, for the most part, are just salted in residential neighborhoods, right?
Yeah, a lot of those. In Five Points, it's kind of on the, just as you're getting into East Nashville, you'll run into Five Points. So it's a little more commercial there, but everything else in East Nashville is in the middle of a neighborhood.
And what geographically delineates East Nashville? Is it the bridge, the river, it's the other side?
Yeah, the river is really what separates downtown from East Nashville. So initially, when the East Nashville developed, it was a place where people would go to get away from downtown, to have a little bit more quiet place. And so
Still what era do most of the houses date for, the structures?
Starting in the late 1800s into all of the more impressive architecture in East Nashville would be before about 1930.
And your bike shop here was what, circa 1930?
Yeah, it's about that year that the bike shop opened up. Originally it was a neighborhood grocery store, so it's always been a corner store. The owners live next door. We live next door. And when they lived here, we just like to imagine, you know, the way it must have felt. And so when we opened the bike shop, we tried to kind of recreate that.
So it really is an old-fashioned, traditional bike shop. I look around and half the bikes are in here for repairs.
Yeah, I mean, that's our bread and butter, is just fixing people's stuff. We sell things. Anything with two wheels is what we say. I mean, we work on people's wheelchairs. So if you're a neighbor and you roll by, we'll help you out.
You got ball bearings, you're good to go.
Yeah, we can do it.
Okay, a little more.
When we were opening the bike shop, we realized we wanted this to be a place for everybody. And I think that's what makes the successful businesses in East Nashville successful, is that they offer something that most of their neighbors can enjoy and benefit from. So
true, literal community, viable, functional.
And we love it when people come visit us from other places and buy things. And that helps us invest more in our neighborhood. Our neighbors support us, and that
it's self-supporting.
It's self-supported, which is so awesome about it, too. And I think that's what makes it magical. Because what makes East Nashville is not the tourists, it's the people that are in East Nashville. And so it's been created by that.
This could and should serve as a model for revitalizing community neighborhoods around America.
Yeah, I think so. And I think if you look at what's happened in Nashville as a city and what we've lost in the last few years in terms of local business, we haven't lost that in East Nashville. And that's because of the types of zoning that we have over here with neighborhood retail and the types of neighborhood activists and community groups that are really intentional about preserving what's important. Those things have really made a difference in East Nashville. And I think that's why East Nashville remains so unique.
If we got on the roof of your house, could we see downtown Nashville?
You'd
on the roof of your house.
You'd have to be a little taller than me, but you could definitely see. Yeah, we're only about 2 miles from downtown.
That's amazing. It's a different world.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot quieter over here. We have an owl that lives in a tree above our house. And the park right next to us is 1,000 acres, and that is something that people from all over Nashville come to see every day.
And it's a real functional park. Tell us about some of the things that are there.
So the park has everything from disc golf to Little League. They have yoga in the park. They have bike trails, walking paths.
Golf course.
Golf course, yeah. There's all kinds of stuff. There's tennis courses. Just about any type of thing you would want to get into recreationally, the city has at Shelby Bottoms.
When you lead bike tours for people visiting, that would be a prime place to take them.
Yeah, I always do that. I like to take people to the big, obvious places, and Shelby Bottoms is one of those. And then I like to take them to the more hidden places. So I like going to the bigger places because I don't have to say as much, because they are just taken aback.
They speak for themselves.
They speak for themselves.
Talk to us for a moment about hidden gems.
Yeah, so the hidden gems would be the places that you just would go right by and you wouldn't realize it. Our bike tours that we do downtown, we start on Jefferson Street, and some of the hidden gems on Jefferson Street is the fact that Jimi Hendrix spent his first 2 years as a guitar player in Nashville.
Let's back up for a moment, because you have two bike shops, and you intentionally located your other bike shop in an underserved, basically, how would you describe it?
Our other bike shop, Green Fleet, is on Jefferson Street in North Nashville, and North Nashville is one of the poorest zip codes in the entire country. But I call North Nashville the heart of Nashville, because that's the area that also made Nashville what it is. In terms of music, people like Jimi Hendrix, Etta James, Ray Charles, Aretha Franklin, all those people went to that neighborhood to play music. And there's three historically black colleges on Jefferson Street. There's a lot to offer in that neighborhood that people have ignored, and a lot of times intentionally. So the exciting thing is that that's history.
That's an intentional reason why you settled there.
Yeah, and I think what with our bike tours is we want to tell the history, and we are a part of the history. So being a representative of that is really important. And so that's one of the hidden gems, I think, that I'm most excited about telling when I do our bike tours.
And in that neighborhood, again, talk a little more, it's dominated by African-American community, right?
Yeah, North Nashville historically is the heart of the African-American community because of segregation initially, but there's a lot of institutional strength in North Nashville. Fisk University, which has roots that are responsible for making Nashville, earning Nashville the name Music City. TSU, Meharry, which was the first place you could go to be a doctor if you're a black person in Tennessee. Places like that that have made a big difference even, you know, outside of Nashville. Nashville's called the Athens of the South, but it's also called the Black Athens because historically, before you could go to college and other places, black people were coming to Nashville.
Very, very fascinating. Talk to us a little bit about your retail operation there because it's different than it might be here as far as what you sell and why you sell what you do there.
Yeah, our shop downtown is a little bigger than this shop, and each of our shops is a little different. So what we try to do is have the shop be a function of the neighborhood. The style's different. The types of things people are interested in are different. And so that's what we try to do with our bike shop is just provide people with what they need and then a few other things that might be helpful and hope somebody buys it, I guess.
Anything you want to add, now's the time.
What we do with bicycles, I've always felt like it's the best way to see a place. The reason I started my business initially was because I'd been on a bike tour and biked through all these cities around the country, and I wanted to share that with people. And so if you can take somebody out on a bike ride that hadn't experienced that before and show them what a great way to get around that is, and it's a great way to get to know your neighborhood, and you get to know the people in your neighborhood too. You don't get to know the people in your neighborhood if you're just driving your car around.
If somebody wanted to learn more.
If somebody's interested in going on a bike ride with us, they could go to either of our bike shops. The bike shop in East Nashville is called Shelby Avenue Bicycle Company. So that's just online. You can find that at shelbybicycle.com. And then our bike shop downtown is called Green Fleet Bikes at greenfleetbikes.com. Both shops do a little bit of everything, so we'd love to see you. And my name's Austin Bowman, and I'll probably be hanging out in the shop.
Austin, thank you so much for sharing.
You bet. Thanks.
So glad I came in today.
Mark Hayes. I'm the general manager at the Kempton Ayrton Hotel in Nashville, Tennessee.
Pronounce the name of the hotel again.
It's Ayrton. My Dutch might be a little off, but that's the basis of it.
Yeah, what is the basis? Why is it called that?
So we're across from Vanderbilt University, and when they were developing the hotel, they wanted to have a nod to that. And so Jan Ayrton is the great-great-great-great-grandfather, or the original Dutch emigre of the Vanderbilt family, and his name was Jan Ayrton. He came from a region of the Netherlands called the Bilt, or Der Bilt, so Vanderbilt is kind of how that came about.
I'm Tom Wilmer. We're here visiting with Mark Hayes, general manager at the Ayrton Hotel in the heart of Midtown.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, Nashville. It's about a mile from the honky-tonks of Lower Broadway, steps from Music Row, which is where all the music businesses, agencies are located within town, and then Vanderbilt University is just outside our front door.
Talk to us about Nashville, what you think the big draws are. Why would you tell your family or your brothers to come visit?
The obvious, the elephant in the room is the music, and it's unlike anything I've ever experienced. I've been in Chicago, Philly, Boston, but just the amount of fun you can have on any given night, walking into almost any bar around town and seeing really great live music. A lot of them are just on the cusp of becoming something bigger. So I think that's the number one draw, but there's increasingly more and more reasons to come to Nashville. Part of because of the explosion of the music scene, there's a greater fashion. I think Nashville is top three in fashion merchandising in the country. There's more design and art popping up around town. And this isn't new, but it's a great benefit is that Middle Tennessee has some beautiful outdoor spaces that are 30 minutes away.
And then there are the surprises. One still I'm amazed at is the Parthenon.
Sure, the Parthenon is I'm not sure how old it is, but it's like a inch-by-inch recreation of the Parthenon in Greece. So you're driving through Nashville, Tennessee, and you're seeing this really iconic Greek architecture and this really beautiful park, Centennial Park, which is just about a mile from the hotel, also in Midtown.
So the hotel here really is a walkable location to pretty much anywhere.
Sure, Midtown is one of the most walkable neighborhoods within all of Nashville, so you have a lot of green space. You know, the heat competes with the walkability sometimes of the year, but generally it's really beautiful, and there's a lot to see and just kind of take in visually.
probably Vanderbilt University feels a sense of ownership of you guys because you're like 1 inch away.
We consider them great partners, friends, almost family in some respects. We certainly host a lot of their family and friends. It was just move-in weekend this past weekend, so there was a lot of people dropping off their kids for the first time or the last time, depending on where they are in their careers. So we've built a great relationship with them, and you know they do own Midtown to a large extent.
Let's loop back to the hotel for a moment and the Kimpton model and why people love the Kimpton hotels.
Well, the Kimpton approach is kind of luxury without the stuffiness, I suppose. So we really focus on friendly service and kind of the local experience. So obviously we hire local folks, but we encourage them to share what they like to do over the course of a weekend with the guests that are coming in who might be their first time to Nashville, and helps them steer clear of some of the maybe the quote-unquote tourist traps and find some of the little hidden gems around town. Unique tidbits like instead of waiting in line at Hattie B's, you can place your order online and cut the line and pick it up. So that's the kind of stuff we like to share with our guests. But, you know, we have nightly wine hour, morning coffee reception, yoga mats in the room to help with the little wellness as you're traveling, stretch out, release some of the beer toxins from the night before, I suppose.
Implicit in the name Kimpton is an on-site restaurant. And you have a bar, too.
Henley Restaurant and Bar is our on-site restaurant. You know, we are really proud of what they've done here. It could easily stand alone and be located anywhere within Nashville. It's a Southern American brasserie, which is basically Southern food with a French style and technique behind it. But it's very approachable. It has a lot of the unique flavors, but kind of elevated. It's got a private chef's table available on the weekends that groups of four can book. We do breakfast and dinner in there, but the drinks are out of sight. It's been recognized by some of the local publication and media outlets as being one of the best in Nashville in that regard.
Wow, for drinks?
Yeah, the cocktail program is really extensive. And
is there like an iconic drink that's associated?
The Old Bell is probably their number one, like the one that they've promoted and that's had the most traction, kind of like a spin on an old-fashioned. But they have a whiskey barrel program with Dickel and Bellmead Bourbon and a couple of the other local distilleries. It's a unique whiskey blend that's only available here.
So it follows that you have people that don't want to stay here, but they want to come dine here or drink here.
Sure, absolutely. You know, for dinner, frankly, it's mostly locals that are coming in for a good time. And, you know, happy hour, we pull them in from a lot of businesses. We have a Manhattan happy hour where it's 8 Manhattans. So if you're feeling really adventurous, you can go through all 8, but we'd encourage that over the course of time for sure.
So stay all week.
Exactly.
Sip and savor. Bill Kimpton is gone now. He's gone to heaven, mm-hmm. but he left a real game shifter in the whole industry in hospitality. Talk to us about maybe 2-3 of your favorite points of how Bill Kimpton changed the industry.
My favorite story is how Wine Hour came about. So back when Bill was getting up and running in San Francisco, he'd have a nightly debrief with the sales team talking about what's business look like, what's on the books, where are soft spots, and they do it over a glass of wine. He was a big wine aficionado. His dog was even named Chianti. So over the course of time, they began to see guests floating around because they were doing it in the on-site restaurant. And he'd be like, hey, come join us. And so that developed into a nightly wine reception to welcome guests after their long days of work to talk over with the manager. So we do that every night from 5 to 6 here. It's evolved over the years to be more of a social hour. So sometimes it's not just wine. You'll have seasonal cocktails or whatever that may be. And chef's bites come out. Sometimes it's stuff off the menu. Sometimes it's stuff that chef wants to experiment and play with and give a good indication. But then I mentioned it before, but we're super pet friendly, so no restrictions on any pets coming in here. And that's an extension of he loved to travel with his dog Chianti, and he had a hard time finding a spot in some cities, so there's always a home at Kimpton for people traveling with their pets.
And he was one of the first in the industry to open the door to doggies.
Yeah, as far as I understand, I think there's a little trepidation about inviting a four-legged friend. You know, by the most part, people are very respectful of traveling with their pets, and, you know, the front desk team loves seeing the dogs come through and pet them, and sometimes if there's some anxiety, they'll even invite the dog down to spend some time with them. It's been a long time coming that Kimpton finding a spot in Nashville, and I'm really proud of what this space is. It's part of a large mixed-use development there. It's in Midtown development. There's apartments attached, so there really is, like, living amongst the local type feel with there, and it's couldn't imagine like a better spot within Midtown next to Vanderbilt. Nashville has a lot of hotel product coming in, but I think that we're really fortunate to have entered into this market at this time. And it's just a fun city. Like any day of the week, you can come here and see great live music, and there's increasingly great food options here, and it's not all biscuits and gravy and fried chicken. There's just a wide diversity, and that's reflective of Middle Tennessee's farming and agricultural community. But I think the Southern hospitality really melds well with Kempton's approach to hospitality.
Closest to your heart.
You know, I've been with Kempton for 13 years, and I just can't imagine working with anybody else.
Where did you go to school?
Funny story, I went to the college at the University of Maine, and I got my forestry degree. So I'm a far sight from that background, but it fit my personality well. So I think that's one of the great things about Kempton in general, is that it invites people from all backgrounds to stay and to work with us.
Mark Hayes, thanks for sharing.
My pleasure. Thanks for staying with us.
Here we are in Nashville, Tennessee, and we're with Annie Claver at River Queen Voyages.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing really good. What a wonderful day on the river.
We did have a wonderful day on the river. We went from Shelby Park in East Nashville down into beautiful downtown Nashville, Tennessee.
On the water.
On the water, right, which is about a 3-mile paddle. Took us about an hour, I think. And it's a Class 1 flatwater river, so it's an easy paddle.
And we had the tide going in the right direction.
We did. Yeah. We did. Yeah, we make sure that we shuttle you upriver and then paddle you downriver.
It's been a perfect day, too. And what a great, distinctive, unique way to see the city and go cut through the heart of it.
Yeah. River Queen was the first kayak outfitter. We started in 2015. Mm-hmm. And
you were the first? So people were just figuring this out as a commercial activity?
That's right. Wow. That's right. Yeah. And so this is our fifth season, and we've grown every year. We won Best View of the City from the Nashville Scene our first year, and we're really proud of that. And it sort of helped people say, oh, yeah, we have a river. Oh, maybe we can do stuff on that river.
Do you want to talk about your next iteration and where you're going?
Absolutely. Yes. So kayaking's been going great. We also do scavenger hunts on the river, which is super fun. We do that in partnership with Adventure Works, which is a zip line company. And then next season, we are moving into paddle taverns. So everyone knows the pedal taverns. Those are the cycle taverns on the roads. And we are putting them on the river. It's a pontoon boat with cycle stations and a big paddle wheel in the back.
That's so cool. That seems like the ideal place to put the party drinkers, too, better than on intersections downtown.
That's right. And locals have been really had a wonderful reaction to it. They'd say, get them off the streets, put them on the river.
Are there going to be people copying, you think? You think there might be two or three before you know it?
Well, I think they'll try. I mean, that happened with kayaking. But the nice thing about the boat is that the manufacturer only works with one company per city. Uh-huh. So at least for the foreseeable future, unless there's another manufacturer, I should have the exclusive on that.
I can see a couple guys trying to do it in their backyard myself.
Yeah, the backyard. I mean, and we've seen that on the river before. You know, people come out here without permits, and there's an airboat guy for a while, a couple jet ski guys, but they get shut down pretty quickly.
It's the river pirates.
And you know, it keeps it interesting around here. It really does. I mean, the water, it's different than the land for sure, right? Yeah, it collects a different sort of people. You know, we're stewards of the river, right? So we're down there, we're giving safety talks, we have rescued dogs from the river from drowning. Another kayak company, someone jumped from the bridge and they rescued them. So we're also stewards of the river, and we help with safety. And so I think Metro Parks likes to have us here to do that. Yeah.
And any environmental partnerships, cleaning up the river and volunteer things?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we give people a free dry bag for their phone if they collect trash from the river. And we also do events with the mermaids that I was talking to you about a little bit earlier. Our logo is a mermaid. And so we've made friendships with local mermaid pods, and we do events with them where the mermaids will come to the events. And so those events benefit Cumberland River Compact, which is in the Bridge Building downtown. And they're a nonprofit organization that is just completely dedicated to keeping the river clean and safe. So we want to support them as much as we can.
That's really cool. And even though a major river cleaves through the heart of Nashville, it hasn't historically been associated as a riverfront town. But by default, it is, and that's changing, isn't it?
We're trying, Tom. We're trying. I mean, that's my goal, right? River Queen's goal is to make Nashville a river town. But there are, we have infrastructure issues, and a lot of it is just no one's done it before. And so it just takes someone with the grit and the gusto to just go and do it. So we're trying.
But we look across the river and hear all these riverfront buildings that are sitting there. It's like, oh my God, if you put a deck on the front side.
Yes. So as soon as I win the lottery, Tom, we're building 10 riverfront bars.
Okay, Annie, anything you want to add?
I'm just grateful to be here. I'm grateful to have this company, and I quit my job to do this. I'm full-time. I love being outside. I love putting people on the water, so I'm glad you came to find me, and I hope you come see us and come on the Paddle Tavern next year.
I would look forward to it.
Thank you.
One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue.
Right now, we're right along the river with Neil Newton, who's the owner and guide for Paddle Up. Tell us about your world, Neil.
We're located 16 miles by water from downtown Nashville, and if you are driving from downtown, it's about 12 to 14 minutes. We're at Rock Harbor Marina. We've been here 8 years. We have lots of paddle boards and lots of kayaks. And pontoon boats.
What's the most popular?
I would say the paddleboards are. Kayaks are coming on strong, real strong. That's why we doubled our fleet this year.
Do you do guided tours, or is it all out on your own?
Pretty much all on your own. We're in the marina. Now, we do have lessons in which people can learn that never paddleboarded or kayaked, and so we have qualified, certified instructors that will take you out and do that. We also have what we call Mileage Builder, and that is a class that teaches you proper technique if you're wanting to do long distance, like 15, 20 miles.
And that would be stand-up or kayak?
Yeah, mostly stand-up. Yeah, there's a big race coming up or a big event coming up in October that's 32 miles long that most of us go do.
So you're a long-haul stand-upper then?
Yeah, we have come from a cycling background of doing some miles, and this is one of them called a Chattajack. It's pretty famous in the world of paddleboarding.
Wow, interesting. So when your name of your company is Paddle Up, that could mean a lot of different things. So the up is partly for stand up, SUP.
That's right.
Could be cowboy up.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Yeah, it could be. And Paddle Up Nashville is what we are and what we do.
And it could be Paddle Up the River.
That's right.
Which we just did, right?
That's exactly right. You came on a beautiful day. The water was really smooth. We had very little current. And about 95% of the time, people that come paddle with us end up getting on the river. Mm-hmm. We just tell them which way to go when they get there.
I love it. It was a great morning. And I'm glad we went out in the morning
and
not mid-afternoon, because we would have cooked.
Yes, it gets warm. And I was commenting that you had perfect morning shade and came in exactly at the right time. So
yeah, I knew that one. I'm glad I'm back now.
We have a real popular full moon paddle that we do. And that is always fills up. We go out about 7:30 in the evening, get on the water, and watch the moon come up. And so it's been very well received. It's a good thing.
Okay, Neil, somebody wanted to learn more.
I would have them to call us, 615-571-0708. You make reservations on our website, which is paddleupnashville.com. Go online and book your board so that when you show up, your board is here.
Good to go.
We have a lot of walk-up traffic, and just to make sure you have a board, go to Paddle Up Nashville, and you can book it there. We're at 525 Basswood Avenue, which is in West Nashville, right inside Rock Harbor Marina.
Neil Newton, thanks for sharing. What a great morning. I'm glad you took us out.
Thanks, Tom. I'm glad you guys came out. This was actually a perfect morning. Good job.
Thanks. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Nashville, Tennessee. We'll see you here on the river.
Matthew Maxey, sitting here in Franklin, Tennessee.
Franklin, Tennessee is a distinctive town with a unique character all of its own, and yet it's quite close to Nashville, isn't it?
It is. We're just 15 miles south of Nashville. It's definitely a town that I wouldn't characterize as a suburb. It's a distinctly southern town with lots of character in it, just happens to be located right next to a major metropolitan area.
That's pretty amazing, I mean, to be that close and yet have a distinctive separation.
It is. Franklin as a whole has built up quite a bit of a business community and really embraced much of the history that has happened in this city and taking great pride in keeping that history and preserving it.
And it only takes about 5 minutes to fall in love with the town from an architectural standpoint, if nothing else.
It really does. If someone were walking down our main street right now, they would see lots of antebellum-style architecture, and then you get out into the homes that date back pre-Civil War.
And Franklin was the site of one of the last Civil War battles, right?
It was. The Battle of Franklin, one of the very last battles of the Civil War, happened right in our downtown area. So it's where most happen, out in a big field like Gettysburg. This happened literally in the backyard of folks' homes, and then all these buildings that were here became refugee spots where soldiers were doctored and turned into emergency hospitals, and where they stayed and recovered for some months at a time following it.
So today you have the legacy of classic architecture, and from what I can tell, is a real vitality from an economic standpoint, from businesses and the nightlife, restaurants.
It really is. Given our location in Tennessee as a whole, it's been great from an economic standpoint, from recruiting not just small business, but large corporate business who've been wonderful corporate citizens.
Give me an example of that.
Here in Franklin, Nissan North America is headquartered here. Last week, Mitsubishi announced that they are coming here. Several insurance financial institutions, Mars Pet Care is here. So there are quite a few large name corporations that are headquartered. Hardee's Corporation is here.
So somebody has done a great job at economic development, recruitment of corporate.
They do. They do quite a bit. It helps that Tennessee is a no-income tax state, so as a resident, I thoroughly appreciate that. A very business-friendly climate, and then when businesses are coming, they want that quality of life for their employees and folks.
Yep. And it would follow that you have a real low unemployment rate, real probably super low.
It does. The tough thing with tourism increasing and restaurants coming is it's hard to find employees because the employment rate in our county is below 1%.
That's incredible. How about cost of living? How much would it cost to buy a cool old house? You know, not that big, but something that you'd be proud of.
Yeah, so throughout the entire county, the average house price is in the $550 range. If you were in the downtown core right here where we're sitting, it's probably going to be closer to that $800-900 million dollar price point.
So this is a pretty classy destination, though.
It is, because of a lot of that corporate coming in, and the county we're in is blessed to have one of the top 10 school districts in the country as well.
If you go out the edges of town, newer developments, you can get something affordable that a guy going to work at one of the manufacturing plants or whatever.
Oh, it's absolutely.
So give us an example.
You can certainly find homes in the $150 to $350 range as well, depending on if you want some country living or you want to live right in the, you know, the downtown core where everything's walkable. And
so that's where you pay the huge premium.
Absolutely, yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about the businesses that are here.
You'll find a lot of antique shops in downtown Franklin, lots of locally owned boutiques and things with character. Hank Williams Jr.'s daughter Holly Williams has a shop here on our main street, a classic Southern General store. Right down the street from her is a sneaker shop that's owned by Toby Mack of DC Talk fame, and then lots of restaurants mixed in within that. So boutique shopping for women, antiques galore, and then high-end fashion for men, and lots of whiskey along the way too.
So somebody, it might have been you earlier today, they were talking about the incredible litany of musicians who live here.
There is quite a community. Being our proximity to Nashville and the creative community here, there are a lot of musicians who call this place home, and not just country. You have names like Justin Timberlake, who says proudly that he's from Franklin these days. And the last couple of weeks, Megadeth has been here recording their latest album. But then you have the traditional country acts and folks, the Keith Urbans, the Carrie Underwoods, those names that are here as well.
Do you ever see him walking around town?
You do. I mean, it's a unique place, too, in that everyone here kind of takes care of their own, and the creative community knows that they're going to be taken care of. It was not too long ago, there was a 5K down Main Street. You know, Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman are out there running just with the other folks. And if you saw someone with a camera running towards a celebrity, you're probably going to see three or four other locals chasing them down saying, that's not what we do here.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is neat. I mean, you walk through here and there's just so much musical history through things, and Franklin connected to so many of the big name acts.
Give me an example.
Well, things like the band Lady Antebellum. They get their name from the Antebellum Homes here in Franklin. Hearing them tell the story of getting their deal and they had to come up with a name, and it's like, well, we have a lady and we see these Antebellum Homes. It works its way into songs. Like Thomas Rhett's, one of his big songs is Star of the Show. That's about him playing an open mic night at a local restaurant called Puckett's, watching his wife walk through the crowd. So he's playing open mic night and writing another song as he's seeing it, all about experiences here in Franklin.
One more.
Brad Paisley, who's down here, his last album, the premier song Heaven South, is about downtown Franklin. And if people go watch that music video, it's shot all in downtown Franklin.
Very cool. It follows that you have people that go on holiday that are interested in music, that would be a draw to come here.
Oh, absolutely. And if someone came just to the historic downtown where we're sitting, it's 16 square blocks, you're going to find over 30 places to see live music, whether it's in the restaurant, the dress shop. There's the theaters down here where people can see live productions, buskers on the street. It's not uncommon for, you know, a guy playing the lunch hour at the restaurant to have been the songwriter and have a couple Grammys at home.
Wow. Very cool.
It really is a fun place to be, and it's like that Puckett's where I mentioned Thomas Rhett's song was. That's a place that's famous for folks getting discovered on stage.
And that's where we just ate dinner, right?
It is.
So maybe that girl who's playing tonight is going to be famous?
It's entirely possible. If the girl on stage wasn't, probably one of the waiters in there working will be one of the names we'll hear on the radio soon.
How about doggies? I love doggies, and I miss my doggie. And I saw some cruising around town. Seems like that's very much a part of the matrix here.
It is, and I mentioned earlier that Mars Pet Care headquartered here, and so Franklin is a pilot city for their Better Cities for Pets initiative. And what that means is if someone came to our main street, every shop that they walk past, you're going to see dog bowls, pets welcome signs. About the only place that you can't take your pet inside is a restaurant because of health codes. Mm-hmm. But if they have a patio, they're welcome there, and not just dog bowls and dog treats, but the staffs have been taught and trained why it's important for dogs to be allowed in, and it's a very welcoming place. So
dogs rule in Franklin.
They absolutely do.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, somebody wanted to learn more about Franklin.
Easiest place online is visitfranklin.com, and then if you want to go on social media, visit Franklin TN on all the social handles. You'll find us there. And my name is Matthew Maxey with Visit Franklin.
Matthew, thank you so much. What a wonderful day in paradise.
Thank you for stopping by.
I'm Jess Gilbert. I am the Director of Education and Events here at Historic Rock Castle in Hendersonville.
Rock Castle. I had never heard of this destination, and it's mind-blowing. This is like the oldest house in the whole region, right?
In Middle Tennessee, yeah. It was out here on the frontier before there was really anything else. But you are not alone in not having heard of it before. We actually have people who have lived in the area for 20 years and wander down here one day and say they've seen the signs forever and just never actually made the effort to come back down here. But once they get here, they're hooked. They come back.
It's fascinating. 1793, I mean, that's on the tail end of the Revolution.
Yeah, 1783.
Yeah, no. Oh, totally. Crazy. That's like the founding days of America.
Right, yeah. So this was actually still North Carolina at that point. And so when Daniel Smith moved out here, he wasn't even a Tennessean.
And hard to imagine, but this was the Wild West frontier.
Right, yes. So there were supposedly buffalo out here, and they had skirmishes with the Native Americans and other settlers that were all kind of vying for the same property. And yeah, it was definitely the Wild West.
It's crazy to think of how tough these people were. to pack up and move whatever they could. And then they arrive in this raw land and they have to build their house.
Oh, for sure. And Sarah Smith, Daniel's wife, was mostly out here by herself with her two kids because Daniel was a land surveyor. So for months at a time, she was out here running the homestead on her own with her two little ones.
Incredible. Just tough, tough people.
For sure.
Do you have any of Sarah's writings?
We do. We have a letter in her room in the castle where she is telling Daniel just kind of general business about the plantation and then actually describing some of the skirmishes that had been going on with the Native Americans in the area, someone who had actually been killed in one of those skirmishes. And she just describes it as if, you know, oh, the weather was a little rainy today and just very, very casual. But it's interesting because the first line of her letter, you can tell she's a little annoyed by being out here by herself.
What does she say?
Yeah, she tells Daniel, "Dear husband, I still find myself under the disagreeable necessity of conversing with you on paper or not at all." So, a little sassy.
You've read her writing, so you've heard her voice. Do you feel like you know her in a way?
A little bit, yeah. It's kind of hard whenever you're trying to build this history of people who were very private. They were out here on the frontier, and there was a reason for that. They didn't really want the city life. They didn't want to be in the spotlight. So it is a little difficult to piece together their history, but the letters are amazing just to hear just how they spoke and the things that they cared about and the things that they worried about and just to get a feel for what it was like to be out here on the frontier. We have some great letters, actually from some of their later descendants, his grandson in particular, who wrote love letters to his one-day-would-be wife. And just, they're sweet and romantic, and it's neat to see their personalities coming out through those letters, for sure.
So you're definitely bridging time.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's neat to think about Polly, who is Daniel and Sarah's daughter. She moved out here when she was about 3 and grew up on the frontier out here at Rock Castle in this home. And my daughter was actually, we live on the property as the caretakers. My daughter, who's 10 now, was actually, you know, brought home from the hospital to Rock Castle property. And so she has grown up out here on the same property. And just to think about her upbringing here at Rock Castle compared to Polly's upbringing at Rock Castle and just to see those.
And this is your daughter?
Yes, this is Kyron.
Can you come over?
You say hi?
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Tell us about growing up here at Rock Castle.
I've grown up here my whole life. But I get to, like, see the house all the time and get to enjoy the property and, like, like, it sort of feels like I have gone back in time with them.
That's what I wanted to know. Your mom has told you about the kids that grew up here. Do you feel an affinity, a closeness to them?
Yeah. When I go into the house, I always feel like I live, like, in there and live at their time period. So it's really cool.
You get to go back in time every day.
Yeah.
And you're going into 5th grade.
Yeah.
And she dresses up sometimes. She'll wear colonial period clothing, and we have field trips that come out here, and she helps us teach the toys and games. And so they're playing with all wooden objects. They play Graces, and what are the other ones that we play? We do Jacob's Ladder and Jump Rope and Rolling Racing Hoops.
Some of your favorite games that the kids played a long time ago?
I like Graces.
And what happens in Graces? What do you do?
So there's a hoop, and then each person has 2 sticks, and they have to, like, make an X inside of it, and then, like, throw it.
Okay, how about one other fun game?
Jacob's Ladder.
And what happens in that?
It's like magic. Like, you go back and forth, with one of the, like, block-type things. And then it will, like, all of them will flip.
It looks like the blocks are falling, right?
Yeah.
That one's fun.
Pretty cool. Thanks for sharing. What's your name again?
Kyron.
Where are you located? How far from Nashville are you?
Yeah, so we are in Hendersonville, Tennessee, which is about 20 to 30 minutes northeast of Nashville, downtown Nashville. And one way that we are preserving the site out here, preserving the history for future generations, is by helping Rock Castle to become a community center. And so we do a lot of music events out here. We do songwriters nights that are all family oriented. We do field trips. We do a big educational event called Sumner Harvest, where we bring out historical demonstrators, and basically the property is transformed into a 1784 fair homestead. So that's really cool to see. We have about 2,000 students.
Wow, that how come cool. out for that.
Yeah, it's really neat. And it's great to watch them walk through the property and just be amazed at what they're seeing and learning, and things that they've learned in a classroom that are actually becoming real to them in front of their eyes, which is really cool.
In a very hands-on way.
Right, right. And then just having, and again, like having them realize that these people were exactly like us. Like these kids that lived here are exactly like us, but they just had different stuff, basically. And then we do house concerts in the winter inside the castle, which is really cool. The state has allowed us to do events inside the home, which is really unique and neat.
So is this under the auspices of Tennessee Parks?
This is actually a state historic site. Mm-hmm. So it's owned by the state of Tennessee and managed by the Tennessee Historical Commission and the Department of Environment and Conservation. And then the daily workings of it are managed by a nonprofit called Friends of Rock Castle.
Very, very cool. So if somebody wanted to learn more, where's the best place to direct them?
Yeah, so our website is historicrockcastle.com. There's all of our information there about events and ways to get involved out here, or if you want to visit, tour times and how to make a reservation for a tour. Our phone number is 615-824-0502. And our Facebook page is Rock Castle State Historic Site. And that is really the best way to stay up to date with what's going on out here. My name is Jess Gilbert.
And my name is?
Kyron Gilbert.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're glad you came.
This is great.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org.
If we were walking in the garden, plucking roses wet with dew, would you be any way offended if I walked and talked with you?
No, sir, no, sir, no, sir, no, sir. I know the world is very cruel. As you refuse to be my bride.